Yo, welcome to another episode of On the Serious 33 and a Third podcast. It's your man, DeLeo, a.k.a. Filthy McNasty, a.k.a. Danny Domino, a.k.a. your mama's next door neighbor's illegitimate second cousin on your adopted nephew's side.
How many times?
Twice removed.
Yo, what up? I'm TJ. There's no Drew this week, so I'm TJ. That's it.
It's your boy, B.A., a.k.a. B-Rock, a.k.a. Drew not here, so I'm going to do all the a.k.a.s I can think of.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yo.
Oh, shit. Word?
Yo.
Yeah, one time. I'll never do it again.
Hey, check it out. Man, quick shout to our brother, Drew Nitty, a.k.a. the Black Star Kid, a.k.a. the Ghanaian Gangster. AKA,
was that a thing?
I just made that up.
Okay, all right. That's just sick. We can make that. Okay. That's sick.
We'll say that for him for next week.
Yo, he's celebrating his birthday week down in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Getting it in, Donnell. You know, Collins or whatever. You know, getting his wet willy on.
No doubt. I was prepared for BA to give some crazy excuse, but. That's it.
Why were you? Why do you keep putting that on me?
Because you did it last time.
No, I was the victim.
No.
You got all three of y'all.
The first time. No, yeah, you were the victim the first time, quote unquote. But then you came back seeking revenge.
Quote unquote. Wait, quote unquote. What is the quote unquote?
We gave you a funny one. We gave you a funny one, but then you came back seeking revenge, and the next time someone was absent, which was Drew, you took it there. So I was expecting you to take it there again, but you didn't. So you know what? Dropping the subject.
Please do, because I have no qualms with Drew. The only reason I said anything about him, and A, I never said a disease. I simply said a medication.
Nigga, you alluded to it.
That ain't the point. The only reason I said something is because y'all said something about me. I didn't start that process. I'm more than happy to say the person's not here. It's very simple. I didn't go into disease. Y'all did that to me.
I feel like we had this argument last time because you're doing it again.
Yeah, because I don't understand how you're going to throw rocks at me and then get mad when I throw rocks back.
You're acting like you don't even understand the, whatever, dude. It's whatever.
No, the point is, you're saying I initiated it. I didn't initiate
anything.
I
just said that when you got a chance to do one when someone else wasn't here, you took it.
And I did, Drew, and Drew's done. There's no reason for me to say anything about Drew anymore.
All right, that's fine.
You know what I'm saying? But if you throw rocks at me, I'm going to throw rocks back. The problem is, you throw pebbles, I throw boulders. That's the difference. I'm still going to throw rocks back. Don't get mad at me at how I respond.
I'm sorry for thinking the worst of you that you were going to do something this week. But yes, Drew is not here because he's celebrating his birthday in the 305.
Happy birthday to my man.
Shout out to JT and Carisha too.
Happy 62nd birthday to our homie Drew. And yo,
that might be accurate
to the listeners out there. Don't y'all just love brotherly love? You know, can't y'all hear the brotherly love, you know, between TJ and BA right now?
Man, for real, like, you can't, like,
oh, here you go. Dang.
You can't throw the rock at me and then get mad at what I throw back. Like, I'm the bad guy. I didn't start it,
man. Yeah, well.
But that's that.
No, you see, it's all factual. You know, we did kick it off. But we're gonna spare young Drew Nitty this week, man. Have fun, enjoy yourself, man. And you know, we'll see you when you get back, man. Bring me a keychain or something, man. I don't think I got
one. By the time this post, he'll probably be back.
Dave love doing that though. He be talking.
Yeah.
it's not a delay. We're definitely not live.
But he can listen to it on the flight back or something. You know, it'll be up. You know.
In which case, it had been too late for him to bring you something back.
Something from the airport from O'Hare.
Yeah.
Oh God.
No doubt.
Okay.
Duty free. So, man. On a much, much more serious note, man, it's been a very tragic and sad week in hip hop. And man, just in general, man. Rest in peace to the legend, the icon, the dog, DMX, man. Passed away at the age of 50 this week, man. And you know, it's just been hitting everybody hard, man. It's another, you know, huge loss for somebody who's just been a major powerful force, you know, in our generation and in our lives, and just you know, very 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 tragic and very sad. And man, he would definitely be missed. Man, just I remember when DMX came onto the scene, man, the impact he had was just like a bomb.
Killed, you know, the shiny suit era.
Man, yeah, man. Yeah,
he definitely changed the game.
He brought the energy. He killed the shiny suit era, which, I mean, it needed to be. Like he came when he needed to come, and he brought it back to the streets because we was mad shiny suited out.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was watching a video that Russell Simmons posted, where he was saying, you know, he was talking about how DMX kind of like single-handedly saved Def Jam. You know, yeah, what I'm saying? Like Irv Gotti, you know, brought DMX to the label, you know, and was like, you know, telling him and Leor that they had to sign this dude, and you know,
Russ, did you ever see Irv tell that story?
I think did he tell it on the Rough Riders?
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, he literally quit his job because they was taking too long. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm out, man. Y'all bullshitting me. I want to sign DMX. That's the first thing I want to do is sign X.
Yeah, yeah. And I think didn't he say like he brought Leor down to the hood and X was like he had just had his jaw wired or something.
Yeah.
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 And he was like rapping, and the wires was breaking on his jaw. And
mm-hmm.
Leor was like, "Oh my god, this is the best thing I've ever seen."
I said, "What the fuck took us so long?" Right?
And was and Russell said that he had heard him on the Lox's joint, and came to the label and was like, "Man, I heard this amazing." He said, "I heard this amazing vocalist," and Leor was like,
vocalist.
"Oh, we've already signed him." So it was like, you know, Russell wasn't really hearing Irv when he was initially trying to bring him to him, and then Russell heard him on the Lox joint.
Well, I think by that point, Russell wasn't even, like, it was pretty much Irv trying to convince Leor.
It was pretty much Leor and Kevin's show at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is what you need to do. And Leor, it was pussyfooting around, so Irv was like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah.
How you going to sign me to be, how you going to make me an A&R, and then I can't sign who I want to sign. Like, I'm out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, like, you know, he absolutely will be missed, but, you know, if there's any solace in it, like, he's at peace. Because he definitely, you know, led a tumultuous life. But yo, like right now I'm really finding, like, getting joy from all of the random ass DMX stories that I'm seeing on Twitter right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's one that I saw where apparently he was at a Waffle House at, like, 4 in the morning, and he relieved the dude that was mopping. So DMX was just mopping in the Waffle House at 4 in the morning. There's another one where he went to an IHOP, and he decided he wanted to go in the back and make omelets in the kitchen. So he was in the kitchen making omelets. There's another one where he was dancing at, like, an Albanian wedding.
Yeah.
It's like a million like random ass DMX stories that like I'm really just taking joy in. I mean, that man lived, like, you know, he had a up and down life, but he definitely made the most of it, made his mark on it, and you know, he's gonna live forever, obviously, through the music and in the art that he's left behind.
I think my favorite thing about him, other than like the energy and the cadence, was that he was so fucking honest, bro. Like, he let us see all of him. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it wasn't like anything that was fake about it. You know what I mean? Everything that we saw about him was authentic.
Absolutely.
To him.
Yeah.
And it was no apologies. You know what I mean? So I appreciated that about him.
Yeah.
Well, I was go ahead.
No, I was going to ask about Dave, if you had any X stories.
Well, Well, I was going to get to that in a sec, but the one thing also that I didn't ever really think about, but it was so true to his character, and I just saw this really heartfelt video that Swiss Beatz posted, you know, yep. just you know, giving dedication. On his Instagram. And he was talking about how X just wasn't about that flashy lifestyle at all. Like he wasn't into the fancy cars or the jewelry. And, you know, once again, it just shows how he was a rapper's rapper. You know what I'm saying? Just like true to the streets, all the way down to his soul, man. And, you know, I really appreciate that even more, even though I kind of like knew it, but never really paid it that much, you know, attention. But that's just who he was.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say to your question, Teej, I know, you know, I was going to kick it off with you because you actually got a chance to interview X back in the day.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, like, what was that like?
It was scary is what it was. It was scary. No, it wasn't scary. It kind of because, so like, I got a chance to interview him, like, I think when the first album dropped. I was still on the row. I was still on front row. Shout out, God bless my man, Ken Wright. I was still on the row. And so it was an event at George's Music Room, like a backyard barbecue situation with X. And obviously I'm there with the camera crew, so I want to do an interview. And I asked X, and he basically was like, you know what, I'm chilling right now, but maybe a little later. And then I was cool with that. But
yeah,
I had been like, I think I had reached out to the label rep at the time. I don't know, should I say his name? Well, he didn't do anything wrong. I did get him kind of cussed out, and I thought he was going to get jumped by X. But I had been reaching out to the label rep like ahead of the thing, like, you know, just trying to confirm an interview. And he basically told me some, you know, we'll see. And so when I got there and I asked X, and he was like, not now, but maybe later, I was cool with that. But then the label rep came up to me at another point during the event and asked me if I got my interview. And I told him what X said, that he said, not now, but maybe later. And then he went over to X and tried to make him do the interview. And I remember it because X was like surrounded, but he had maybe like five or six guys with him. The Henny was flowing. And he basically went over and almost tried to make X do the interview with me. And that's kind of went left. And that's when I thought, that we were going to have to call medical professionals because X barked on him. And, you know, obviously, you know, we know the passion that X brings when X does anything. So he like really tore my man a new one verbally. And it wasn't, he wasn't quiet about it, obviously. And I felt bad because it was kind of like my fault. But listen, I had told dude that X said, not now, maybe later, and I was cool with that. I didn't press him. So he decided to take it upon himself to try to make X do the interview. Now, this is, again, X is new. He's in the major label arena, so he goes to these different cities. He has a different rep in most of the cities. Yeah. And so maybe this was dude's first time meeting X, and he didn't really know. But I do feel bad to this day that he got barked on like that in public, and it was kind of my fault. But I told him that I was cool with waiting.
but the interview went smooth a little after bit that, after or was it a little tense?
A little bit after. I mean, X wasn't tense. I was, though, because I'm like, I think I might have been 21 at the time. 20? No, I was like 20, I think. And so, you know, and so I was, I mean, you know, it took me a minute to kind of like loosen up. But he gave me the interview, I don't know, maybe like a half hour after screaming on dude. He gave me the interview and I don't know if I was scared. We were in the public because I don't think anything was going to happen to me. But I definitely remember like being a little apprehensive, like, you sure? Because I don't, we could talk later, bro. Like, I don't want to mess up your group. So, but he was cool at that point. Like, you know, I guess he just needed some time to, you know, mentally prepare to do the interview or whatever. But he ended up giving me the interview. And the crazy thing is, some years later, I don't know, maybe, what was that, 98? So I don't know, maybe 6-7 years later, he was in town for something and he needed an emergency film crew to tape an audition for, it was a show on, a short-lived show on ABC called Detroit 187, like a cop drama or whatever. He needed to tape an audition, and I ended up like reading with him on camera for his audition. Oh, wow. Again, my man Ken had hit me up like, yo, I need to go do this. I need you to come with me. And so, yeah, I went to like help out. And then I ended up being the one to run lines with X on camera to send his audition.
Did you give him any acting pointers? Like, you know what? Try to deliver it.
Dave,
I'm
not an actor. Like, and this was, wow. this had to be, I don't remember when that show was out, but it was in the early aughts. So, you know, I didn't give X any direction. I just did my lines and tried to not fuck those up.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Man, I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of meeting him, but I guess my most memorable moment would be when he showed up as a surprise guest at the Bad Boy tour when it came through Chicago. Mm. I had seen him once prior when he performed at I think it was the Hard Knock Life tour that I had mentioned on the last show with Red and Meth and, you know, Jay-Z and all of them. And X came out and just like bodied that show. But even more crazy was when he showed up as a surprise guest, because nobody was expecting it. Because, you know, it was the Bad Boy tour. You kind of knew who the core artists were going to be, but everybody also knew that Puffy was bringing out, you know, different artists for different cities. So a lot of times some of the surprise guests were like artists from that particular city, like here, you know, in Chicago, Chance the Rapper ended up being one.
Hold
of
on, Chance the Rapper. Did he bring Twist out to do Is This the End?
No, and I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
I want to see Chance at a memory. Bad Boy. Like, what did Chance do? I mean, nothing against Chance, but I would have thought if you were in Chicago and you bring Chicago people, you're gonna bring some Chicago people that was on your shit, like.
Yeah, I think Chance only did like a piece of No Problems.
I fuck with No Problems.
And then I think Chance performed like one of the Bad Boy songs with Puff or whatever.
That sounds
but
weird.
I don't think Twista came up. So, yeah, I think everybody was waiting on that. But no, but even better, X came out, and dude, when I tell you I was like a damn kid that like saw Santa Claus or something, like everybody just jumped up out their seats and just the place went bananas, man, because we had no idea that this man was going to be there. And man, he came out just like, dude, it was like when he first came out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he hadn't been really performing, you know, really since, you know, prior to that, you know, he had kind of been on a hiatus. And dude, the energy was like he never had left, dude. He was moving from one stage to the other side of the stage, and just dude, everybody was hanging on every word, and he was like, dude, you just felt it, that presence, you know what I'm saying, that he always had. And it was amazing, man. So that was probably my most memorable DMX moment, was seeing him at perform at the Bad Boy
Tour.
Yo,
B, did I give you my Hard Knock Life tickets?
Me? No, I didn't go to that tour.
No, all right. I feel like I had Hard Knock Life tickets.
I only saw X. I saw X at the Cash Money Rough Rider tour.
Oh yeah, I remember that one too. Yeah,
so, yeah, that's when I saw him live. But no, I didn't.
Did I give you those tickets? I feel like I gave you...
No, my bank account and Ticketmaster gave me
those tickets. I feel like I gave away tickets for one of those shows, and I regret doing it, but I think it was Hard Knock Life Tour.
Man, was
you ain't give them to me.
I feel like I didn't feel like, you know...
You must have been caking.
I mean,
that sounded like
one
a cake
of those
move.
Things where, it had to be. You know, Dave, you remember this shit. You get tickets all the time, and sometimes you don't feel like going to shit. True. And I just, like... in hindsight, it's the Hard Knock Life tour. I don't know why the fuck I wouldn't go see Meth and Red and X and Hov. Like, I don't know why I wouldn't do that, but.
I don't know why you wouldn't offer me the ticket.
Like, are you sure?
I'm positive. I know I didn't go see that show.
All right. I don't know, Matt. Yo, another story, though, real quick, that I read and just entertained me to know. And was apparently, X, like, ended up getting him and Ja Rule stranded, and they, like, hitchhike into the hood. Wow. So, like, I think if I got the story right, first of all, X like took a Def Jam exec's car. He just took it.
Yeah,
him and Jai, and then they got pulled over. And X doesn't have a license, so like the cop is like license registration, and X is like, funny story, officer, this ain't my car. And then he's like, oh, okay, blah blah blah. So it's the exec's car. Well, this is, you ain't going no further in this car, so y'all need to call somebody. And then they couldn't get no. Now they're like on the side of a turnpike or some shit. They couldn't get nobody on the phone. So X literally hops out the car. And they start fucking hitchhiking. And then a sister picks them up and takes them to her grandma's house in the hood. And Jai's in disbelief that he has to fucking hitchhike with DMX right now. But yeah, the sister picks them up, takes them to her grandma's house in the hood. And then they kicked it at the house. Granny cooked. They taking pictures with kids and shit. And that's just another one of the favorite X stories that I've read over the last couple of days.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard that story before. I heard y'all tell that story. That was hilarious.
Yeah, and I totally can visualize that. That sounds exactly like something they would do. You know what I'm saying? But BA, what was that tour like? Did Rough Riders, did they go first, or was they like the last after Cash Money?
If I remember correctly, Rough Riders.
I feel like
first.
I think I saw it in the Rough Rider documentary. I think they ended up like switching back and forth as far as who.
I you know what? It escapes me. I feel like Rough Riders went first.
Yeah.
No. Let me not say that. No, I think Cash Money went first.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cash Money went first, because I remember them in this big ass helicopter above the arena. Yeah, I'm gonna say Cash Money went first. I think X closed that show out.
Makes sense.
If I'm not mistaken.
Did the crowd go up when they did Down Bottom?
To my knowledge and to my recollection, I believe so.
Like, yeah. Down Bottom still goes hard.
Dude, matter,
I believe so.
Matter of fact, you know, I was I know it's gonna sound like some bougie rich nigga shit, but I was riding the Peloton yesterday. I was riding the Peloton yesterday, and the sister who is one of the instructors on there, I was doing her hip hop ride, and she played Down Bottom during the hip hop ride. And dude, I swear I got energy and stood up on the bike.
Just
and was going
the visual
hard to Down Bottom.
Of this right now is hilarious to me. I'm just picturing it like one of the commercials. The Peloton commercials, when you're like lethargic and barely making it through, and then Down Bottom comes on, and then you go hard with it.
Yeah, yep. I mean, you can't help but to, man. It's just got that, you know, that type of beat. But man, speaking of, you know, all of the the celebrations and everything regarding DMX, man, it brought up a couple things that, you know, I thought about. One, you know, when X was, you know, kind of like in his final days, there have been lots of, you know, sporadic reports that, you know, he had already passed, and, you know, all of these conflicting, you know, reports and everything. And, you know, I'm not gonna name no names, but couple people even
want me to. I'll name them.
Couple people got real, quick with the Twitter fingers and was putting them, you know, in the grave prematurely, and it just brought, you know, to the whole thing a couple points. One, you know, people being in a rush and competition to report, you know, people dying.
Blue Nail.
Sadly, she wasn't the only one.
And then, and then, you know, the other thing you know, like Jadakiss said, you know, their rappers get better promotion. I always, you know, also correlate that to something that the game posted about, you know, how sometimes, you know, artists will get more love after they passed. You know what I'm saying? What's y'all thoughts on that, man? Just like, has social media become a competition sport when it comes to like, I mean, reporting?
It's always been that though. Like, we've had so many instances where somebody prematurely, you know, posts that someone has passed and they're not, and they haven't, and like, we haven't got official word. And so, I mean, that just honestly, like, just kind of comes with the what social media, like, you know, social media as it is. People want, sometimes you do have people that want to be the first to post. Sometimes you have people who get bad information and, you know, and then they go to social media with it and they, you know, have to retract it or whatever. So it's just part of what comes with social media, I think.
I think you never want to be the person that has to retract it. Why, don't be that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I learned my lesson.
Oh, shit. Who did you kill prematurely, Dan?
Listen, what makes it even worse is the person I killed wasn't even dead. So years ago, before, like, you know, social media was a thing, I killed Damian Hart from Guy.
What did Crazy Legs ever do to you?
He killed Crazy Legs.
Man, so I was, you know, back in my music industry days, man, I used to, you know, be cool with all of these, you know, mix show DJs or whatever. And I remember back when, what did they used to call them? Not chat rooms, but message boards. I remember when I was,
Dave,
I know, right?
You can't believe everything you read on the internet, especially on message boards.
Man, on listen.
Message boards.
Yeah, so I had seen somewhere that Damian Hall had gotten killed or something in a car accident, and I went on this DJ message board site and posted it. And he is and was at the time very much alive. And man, I got eaten alive, man. Motherfuckers was like, who is this lame ass nigga? Like,
did you write posting this bullshit message?
After the fact,
like, your initial message, your initial.
Oh, no, it wasn't like that. It was kind of like more like reporting from the street type of, you know.
Fake,
like,
ass hits from the streets. You know,
just heard.
Just heard some shocking news. Damian Hall was just killed in a car accident 16 seconds ago.
My apologies to Damian Crazy Legs. So I didn't mean to kill you.
You kept this one under wraps, bro, because I don't. I'm not that I know all your business, but I don't remember that. Like, when was this? Was pre MySpace Black Planet? So this is like,
I don't even think MySpace. It might have just been come around. Maybe, right,
so we're talking 2002, 2003, or something.
Yeah, this is like when message boards were a thing. When it was like, you go to, you know, nobody went to like pages, you know, individual pages to post and comment and stuff. You would go to a message board. And,
nigga really killed Damian Crazy Legs. Where did you hear that?
My bad.
Randomly.
Said, where did I get it from?
Oh, you said you saw it on, you don't know where you got it?
I saw it on some site or something, and then I went on a DJ message board that I used to frequent and posted it on there.
News on and Media Takeout before Media Takeout?
Right, exactly. And I took out Crazy Legs. But
really, though, when I see something posted about somebody dying, like, I will literally, before I even say anything, I'm going to check
you
a bunch
always
of other
want to check. Yes, you always want to check reputable sources before you run with it. Like, there's a story, and hopefully it gets dispelled now, but I keep seeing this post about Hov and B buying X's masters for $10 million and giving them to his 17 kids. And I don't think that's a thing. Like, I haven't seen it from any reputable source. And so, yeah, I don't trust that story just yet. Like, it would be very nice if that happened, but I don't trust that. So yeah, like,
how many Beyoncé stories do you trust, Teach?
Really? Is that what you're gonna go there?
I mean, it's on the subject, right?
Well, that's all the more reason why you can't trust.
Is it not on topic? I
feel like all the more reason why you can't trust these random ass stories that pop up.
Dave, you want to explain to the listeners what we're talking about right now?
wait a minute. Are we talking about the infamous
TJ's Beyonce story?
The infamous TJ Beyonce story. Wow. Now this is one I think, you know, TJ himself might have even ran. I'm saying you might have let it float out there.
Absolutely not.
So
he never said it wasn't true.
Right. You never put out a retraction.
I totally posted. Where I'm gonna put a retraction at? Like,
listen. So for all of y'all listening who aren't on the inside joke, TJ actually dated Beyonce at one time. Yes. You know, this is true because it was in the tabloids, and I believe it actually.
It's a fact because Media Takeout said it was a fact.
Yes, they did. They even posted a picture.
Listen, if y'all gonna tell the story, man, tell it right, because y'all fucking up.
What do we say untrue? Did you not have a picture of you and Beyonce on Media Takeout, and they said you were her first boyfriend?
That part is true.
Okay,
but listen, y'all. Okay, fine. Listen. So, what happened to anybody that's listening and doesn't know? I interviewed Destiny's Child when they first came out a number of times, so I have a few pictures with them. And yeah, back in the day, in your MySpace days, like I had posted them on my MySpace or whatever. Anyway, some small ass little independent wannabe blog found the picture.
It wasn't Sandra Rose.
It was like a blog spot blog. No offense to blog spot, but it was like a really small, tiny blog nobody really knows or heard of. And they saw the picture on MySpace and took that picture and said something about me being Beyonce's first boyfriend. And so I reached out to them and told them, and I thought that was the end of it. But then, like a week later, and this is how you know a lot of them blogs, the social media, them shits be bullshit. But what happened was the bigger blogs, Media Takeout, Boss Up, whatever else was popping in 2007 or whenever that shit happened. No,
it was way before that.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it was somewhere in there, 2004, 2007, somewhere in that space. But anyway, this is how you know the blogs be bullshit, because they took that story from that small blog and then they posted it on Media Takeout and Boss Up, and then that's the day I woke up to 150 texts and calls and emails. And how am I gonna refute that? Like, I posted on my, I guess, MySpace at the time. Like, you know, I've never dated Beyonce. I've never been, but they found an old picture of with me and her sitting next to each other. Like the picture they found, I was with the original Destiny's Child, but B and I were sitting next to each other, and for some reason they took that and said that I was Lindau, and
And they said y'all went to the prom together too.
Well, her real first boyfriend. The story was fine. It just they used my picture, and I've never, unfortunately, dated Beyonce. That's what that was about. But again, it just goes to prove that everything y'all see on even now on the new shit and the Shade Room and whatever else gossip blogs y'all be going to, like, y'all, them shits be having a slant. You can't believe those. You can't believe those. They take one kernel of truth and then make a whole new shit out of it. So don't believe the hype. You can't. Basically,
it's clickbait.
I remember when that happened. I was dying laughing, dude. Like for days, I could not get over it. And
you know what's funny? Sadly, to this day. if you Google Beyonce's first boyfriend, like the words Beyonce's first boyfriend, yeah. and go to images, yeah.
it comes up.
Like I think it's like a page or two, but my shit is still there. And
that is hilarious. Yeah.
So Hov, listen, if you're listening, bro, I didn't do it.
He's not.
I didn't do it.
Don't think you got to worry about that.
I just
want
to put it out there just in case.
Craziness, definitely from the internet, man. Stop killing people and stop putting people that's not really with the other person. I
can't believe
together.
Everything you read on the internet. And listen, now they got deep fake videos. That shit scares the fuck out of me because they can just do some whole other shit with these deep fakes. So the bottom line is you can't believe everything you read on the internet just because it's on the internet. Do some due diligence.
Seriously.
See if the other reputable sources that you've actually heard of post a story. And then maybe, but don't jump the gun and do your due diligence before you run with shit.
Absolutely.
You would think that would make sense, but half these folks can't even decipher two and two.
Yeah.
So
Well, it's just like the people who watch, sitcoms and drama series on TV and they can't separate, what's going on in the story from real life.
This is not
or the people like, okay, that takes me to R. Kelly.
Yeah. Oh well.
They can't separate the music from the idiot who made it.
Except for when he's actually singing about the shit he's in jail for. That's the part that really fed me up. I can't do it. But listen, I don't know how I forgot the point that I was making, but I just wanted to tell the funny story about how when I was a kid, like when you listen to the radio and somebody calls in with requests, do radio stations take requests anymore? But you remember how people used to be able to call in and make a request and they would put you on air? All right, so listen, when I was a kid, is because y'all was talking about can't believe TV and blah, blah, blah. When I was a kid, I used to think that shit was mad live, and I used to always be like, how the fuck they know what they was going to play and how the song queued up while they still talking?
Right.
But I didn't understand how, the shit is recorded and then, the engineer, and then I thought all that shit was live. Same way I used to think music videos were live, and they just kept doing the same shit over and over and over again every time they played the music video. But I was like six or...
I used to think if you died in a movie,
we were like kids, right? Mm. So that's one thing. But
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That was my weird ass belief that if you died in a movie, that you were dead.
You
were
so
life.
Sad for Ramo, weren't you?
So you probably was trying.
You were sad as fuck for Ramo in East Street, weren't you?
man, you was traumatized, man. Man, you must have had a fit when Coach E.
So wait, the first time
I was grown when I was older by the time I saw Coolie Hat, but no, Ramo did fuck me up.
The first time you saw that some new shit after the movie shit, you saw a ghost.
Like, it was weird. Like, wait a minute, I thought he died.
Yo, I'm his brother. I literally grew up and lived with him. We shared the same bedroom for another year. I never knew he thought that.
Wow.
I did think that's a true story.
Wow. That's frightening. also, man, gotta send up prayers for Black Rob, man. Black Rob is been having some health issues and recently posted a video showing that he was in, bad shape. And he he had suffered a stroke some years back. And, have been, still trying to recover from that. And, apparently now he's been having a lot of pain that's been, unexplained. So, definitely prayers going out to Black Rob, man. Definitely praying for
him. Yeah, it was sad, bro. I had a hard time watching that video.
Yeah, definitely. And then on top of it, in the video, they asked him about X. And, he was still showing love, to X through the pain, man. But it was very difficult to watch. And, we're just going to, keep him in our prayers, man.
For sure.
So, yeah. Man, on, on some you know, more upbeat news, man. Shout out to Chicago's own Cootie and Chike, man.
I don't want to know what you thought he was about to say.
On some more upbeat news, the prince died.
I mean, you know what?
Sorry, I don't even care.
Yo, fuck them the royal family. I'm tripping on that. That's like
somebody was like, why couldn't it be Tekashi? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yo, hold on. Chris again, and Queen Elizabeth,
I digress.
Are they cousins? I believe.
I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
I don't understand how the queen is married to a prince. I really thought that the queen's husband is the king, right, and not a prince. I thought so. I don't know what the fucking family dynamic is in this place anymore.
Listen, I know we just finished talking about how you can't believe everything you read on the internet, but and I admittedly have not done my research to see if this is true, but apparently that might be a thing, that they were actually cousins that got married, and so ill.
Well, he looked inbred, so which surprised me.
Listen, he lived a long life. You know, he made it to 99.
Which is why I feel like I don't care that he died, because here's the thing. This is just me personally. European Americans of a certain age, I would say probably, I don't know, 50 and up, I'm going to default to you're a racist. Off top. Never met you, but I feel like you grew up not liking niggas. So unless now, if I meet you, I'm not saying you're cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
that's gone.
Yeah,
but my initial reaction is you don't like niggas.
Well, you know what's funny about that? I'm gonna do you one better. I feel that same way about dogs.
I feel that way about all white people.
I feel that all dogs are racist until they're raised by people of another race. I say this because every time I walk past a dog that's being handled by a white person, they try to attack me every time. So, in my head, that
what
dog
the fuck is happening?
That dog has been raised to be racist.
So wait, let me make sure I got this right. You think all dogs that are owned by white people in general
are racist? Yes.
All right. I mean, that's
just weird.
That's far fetching, Dave.
No, trust me. If you saw what I go through,
like, do you literally almost get attacked by dogs like pretty frequently?
Yes, every time I walk past one, they try to lunge at me or they bark. Like,
maybe they sense your fear.
No, I'm not afraid. They just
okay, Eminem.
Okay, wait. So you've never been lunged at or barked at aggressively by a dog that was owned by a black person? What?
No. No. No.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Okay.
It's
you ain't never had a black person tell you he don't bite and the dog was fucking slobbering and you saw all the teeth?
No. See, here's the thing. I feel like in those situations, I invaded that dog's space. I'm literally just talking about walking down the street and,
have you not walked past?
Yeah.
So you've walked past black people with dogs and the dogs didn't do anything.
Well, listen, when I was a kid, we lived next to a Doberman Pinscher. What was that dog's name? What was it? Might have been King.
About right.
That was just a thing back then.
It's also irrelevant, but whatever.
Yeah. but the way their backyard sat next to our, we didn't have a front door to our house. We entered through the side. So
wait, okay.
Yo, right, I just right, want to say, okay, cool. Yo, man, I almost got bit by a dog entering the side of the house too. But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, but literally,
you ever got chased by a dog while you were drunk?
No.
No, then you don't understand my life. So go ahead, keep going.
But no, my point is, every time I would come in the house, this Doberman Pinscher would try to, you know, lunge at me through the gate. So that would be the one exception.
Some white people named their dog King.
Throw out there.
Okay.
No. These are our black neighbors. But yeah, so I had King to used like to try to fuck you up past on a daily. They're...
So maybe you were just traumatized from a young age to think that these dogs don't like you.
I just feel like all of them are racist.
But I'm trying to.
So you think? Wait. You think dogs are born this way?
And then you think if they're owned by white people, the white people foster it. But if they're owned by black people, the black people like shut it down. Dave, do you hear how you sound?
Yeah. No.
Let him have his belief, man. Yeah. You can't let him have his belief.
Sorry.
You can't change the man's beliefs. It is.
All right, so just one more time for the record. You're saying that every time you walk past or near a dog owned by a white person, that dog always barks at you and tries to lunge at you.
Yes.
Wait, no. I can test this theory. Have you gone to a pet store?
I have.
And have the dogs, the puppies, like reacted to you when you walk past them?
I don't know about the pup. You're talking about like the puppies that are in the cages?
I'm talking about the goddamn puppies, baby dogs that were born. Because by your logic, they're all racist at birth.
Yeah.
So have the puppies lunged at you or puppies reacted lunge? To you?
Don't like their puppies. I've like had some. Small and cute, but
hey man, if you born not liking niggas, you probably gonna do something.
Yeah. Them little Shih Tzus, man, they definitely racist.
Little scrappy dude.
All right, one more time. Shih Tzus are definitely racist. I just want to make sure. Okay, so Dave, you're saying that every single time you walk past a dog owned by a white person, that dog normally barks aggressively or lunges at you. But when you walk past a dog with a black person, they don't do anything. That doesn't happen. What happens if it's like Asian or Latin, the owner?
Right. I'm gonna have to get back to you on that one.
That is,
but yeah.
Hey, you know what? Truth is often stranger than fiction. So
see, here I am talking about racist Caucasians, and you talking about dogs.
So, BA, you're going to expand upon your belief. Like, I do, like, any white person that I come across or see that's, like, we'll say 50 or older, I definitely think that they are or were probably hella racist.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly. That's how I look. It's like, if you're a certain age, I'm going to make you default to racist until you prove to me you're not.
Oh, okay. All right.
No. I said European Americans. That's my word for white people.
I gotta wonder when I see a white person of a certain age, but
And the reason I use European Americans is because I don't like how they label African Americans, Chinese Americans, but they just white. Nah, nigga, y'all European Americans, if we're gonna do all that, if everybody gets a label, you get one too.
Facts.
Euro American.
Somehow, man, we veered way away from when I was talking about Cootie and Chike.
So wait, is it Chike? I always thought it was Chike.
Oh man.
Okay, all right. I never
believe it's Chike.
I never heard him say that.
I could be wrong. Lord knows I've been wrong before on this show, but shout out to those brothers, man. They just inked a crazy. Crazy $30 million documentary deal with Netflix for this Kanye West documentary that's been years in the making, that's going to be dropping I think relatively soon. And that's a major win, man. All I'm saying is, can I borrow like $100,000 or something?
I mean, shout out to those brothers,
like,
for sure. Y'all clowned me in a group text when I had mentioned, because this was like I don't know if you sure it's Chike, right? I'm pretty sure.
Whatever. I know Cootie in the Channel Zero days from the video show days. Like, you know, he was him and Ye kind of came up together, and he was with Ye before Ye was Ye. So you know, he has literally footage going back to when Ye was like 15, 16 or some shit. So he has 30 some odd years worth of footage of Ye, and obviously in his different stages and becoming the superstar that he is. But you know, we got some footage too, Dave, and I feel like we need to listen.
I was just about to say,
on my back, man. We got to go through this footage, and we got to have some sessions and go through this footage and see what we can piece together and sell.
Yo, just off the Kanye West interview alone that we had, I remember we interviewed him when he came to Lil Kim's release party for Notorious K.I.M. Album.
Yeah.
And because he did like one or two tracks on there. And it was funny because that's when Kanye had been producing for a lot of big name artists, but you know, the mainstream didn't really know about him at that time. And so it was funny because when he came to the party, Lil Kim, you know, kind of acknowledged him, but it was kind of like one of those situations where I guess he had like produced the track for her, but he wasn't necessarily in the studio with her when she did it. And so like he kind of had to introduce himself to her. And then while he was there, you know, it was one of them parties where it was like, you know, just free alcohol flowing or whatever. And he just started like throwing them back, and which made for a really, really lively interview. When TJ was interviewing,
oh no, he was absolutely, he was
pretty
drunk.
Much drunk, right?
At the time. Yeah, like we can start there. I'm gonna find the footage. We can start there, and we just need to start licensing this shit to people because, I mean, you know, we just told DMX story, Beyonce story. Like, we got footage of all these people from you know the late '90s going forward. So, we probably don't need to talk about it on the podcast, but nigga. Cootie and Chike got, I'm sorry, Chike got 30 million. Like, just give me like 100K. Like, I don't need that much. Like, you know, yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't have a I don't have 30 years of documentary material, but I got a couple clips, nigga.
But they, I mean, you know, they, man, big ups to them, man. Cause like, you know, T said, we know them from the Channel Zero days, but they just have like over the years, just done some really classic things. Everything from the original, not seen too much version of kind
shout
of
out to
Jesus
my man
Walks
Danny
video
play Jesus
to
in the video, yeah.
Yes, to the Ben Wilson documentary, to the Steph Marbury documentary. I know some others. Oh, to the Erykah Badu window seat classic
man,
video.
Listen. Yo, I was watching the video for Slow Jams today, and I'm still a little salty that I wasn't there. Like, I felt like I really could have or should have been there. That was like at the height of our video show days.
Was you mainly upset?
Mostly
Aisha
that,
Aisha Tyler was there,
and Sunday Carter. Okay. And I think I saw my girl Noelle.
Oh yeah, I forgot about her.
I feel like I need to reach out to her. Shout out to Noelle. I need to reach out and double check, but I'm pretty sure I saw at the end of it. But yeah, man, I was watching the video today, and I'm a little salty. Like, I feel like we. You know, like I said, we were at the height of our shit as far as the video show days, and I feel like we could have should have been there. Like, I just feel I have a whole lot of not fear of missing out for this. So I don't know what you would call it, not FOMO, but I got some. I feel a way about not being at the video. I feel like we should have been in that video or just there at the shoot or some shit.
Yeah, I think we used to miss out on a lot of that. I think the only time I believe I got invited to a video shoot and I didn't end up going was, I think we got invited to the Crucial Conflict Scummy video.
Well, that sound like 925 days. I wasn't privy to that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, 925 did get invited, I think, to a few more things than we did, but yeah.
That was a flex.
he's trying to start up the 925
No, I'm saying like Listen. I'm just saying, you know, and it wasn't me. It was, you know, G and M had them relationships like that.
Wait.
Nigga, you're my brother.
I wasn't part of any of these shows.
If you had to choose a side, the fuck?
Man, I forgot. How many plaques did VIP get? Or which ones? Which ones did VIP get?
This makes me mad to this day. We got a Jill Scott one for the first album, but it got stolen before I got to it.
Oh wow,
Dave, you don't know that story?
What? Oh wow, that sucks.
It got stolen. What did from it get lost in the mail? Or? We were using.
Wow.
Yes, so with a fucking right Jill Scott platinum plaque.
Talking
with
about
our fucking name
with a Jill Scott plaque.
Wow. Talking about, yo, yeah, I got this back in the day.
I really wonder if they scratched the names off or some shit, because it ain't their name. And then I got a fucking Yin Yang Twins plaque that I didn't even ask for. That shit just came in the mail by surprise. I knew the Jill Scott plaque was coming. I was anticipating that. And motherfucker stole it from the mailing center, probably delivery dude who would have delivered it to the mailing center. Like, yeah, but I got the fucking Yin Yang Twins plaque. And that's it. Now you're going to flex with your plaques. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you know, I mean, I got a few. You know, no, my probably the biggest one, or at least biggest for me, was I got a Whitney Houston
plaque. Just
off top, you're
going to flex with the Nipsey plaque. Okay.
For, you
don't even like that song.
I think it was
My Love, Your Love.
Stop right there, actually. But
He can't.
It
even
don't matter.
Sing
the
it.
Point is, he can stop now because he literally just hit you with Whitney Houston, and your response was Yin Yang.
Start off with Whitney Houston. Where you gonna go after that, Dave?
The game is over already. Man. Go ahead.
Man, well, the very first one I ever got was
a big L plaque.
I got one for his album. I got a little Johnny and the East Side Boys.
You couldn't start there. Make me feel a little better.
I got a Robert.
Yeah, that don't
Dick,
count. You were working for them.
One. That's a nice.
Everything
one.
Else you
and
then
I got. And then I got two Keisha Coles and something else in there. But yeah, that's like
it's bigger than Whitney.
But the biggest one that's bigger than Whitney is the Code FI plaque. That Zell gave me with all our albums.
Hello? You ain't gonna hit the sound effect or nothing? I'm waiting for the sound effect on that one.
Man, listen. I don't know what y'all thought, but that right there.
I mean, hey, no, that
in front on the Code FI plaque.
No,
like nobody has that except for Zell. Nobody.
Exactly.
Yo, yeah, wait, did exactly. I see? Oh, nobody. No, who did that?
Yeah, man.
What's the dude that used to be with Khaled? Ace Hood? Did y'all ever see the viral video of this girl giving him a plaque?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't watch it, but I'm familiar with the video.
Yeah, because, like, you know,
he was in tears,
gave him a commemorative plaque because, like, he hadn't been on a major label in some years, and she just gave him a plaque for, like, the hard work that he had put in for his independent shit. It was like a really sweet video that she made him a plaque. That's real shit, right?
That's
there.
I mean, you know, it's weird now. It's weird though now when I see artists get them now because it's like,
everything is streams, related. Yo, man, I can't really respect like the new age like certification shit because Drake could say he got more streams, sold more records than the Beatles or some shit like that. Listen, dog. No, it's not the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the same. It's not the same playing field. Like, and you know, like, I don't know what Michael Jackson record has been broken, but no, because nobody's selling 140 million copies of anything. Like hard copies, like individual that you had to go to the store to purchase. So when Nicki says, and listen, I love Nicki, but when she says 40 million singles sold, Like, no, you streams. Like, no, like I feel like an old head now. Like, yeah. We used to have to go to the store. We used to have to wait like Tuesday when music yes. came out. We have to go to the store
Tuesday.
We had to buy the CD, Tuesday. The physical, whatever, bruh. Or tape or single or whatever. We had to hope that they didn't run out.
My ass, dude, my car.
Or just- you can pay a penny and get Columbia House and get like 7 CDs.
Yo, man, you hit a nerve right there because I think I still owe them some money. But
I'm sure actually, at least like two people on this Anthony, podcast TJ still do because
I don't.
I'm saying
I don't think anybody ever.
I
paid,
did once or twice just to keep the
like. I feel like
once or twice to keep it rolling, but. I definitely didn't pay them everything I owed them.
Well, I know, you know, my college days, man, literally consisted of Tuesdays. I go to class, yo. Go to Harold's, go to Tower Records. That was my Tuesday. That was my Tuesday, man. Like, literally, I would be at Tower Records.
I kids really don't understand, G. Like, I remember to this day. B, I know right. Sometimes BA teased me because I bought the Left Eye Supernova album. But whatever. That shit's, it was an import. Like, her solo album never came out in America. And so it was an import. And I bought it from Tower Records. That Tower Records right there by Columbia. It used to be by Columbia. But I remember, like.
Just to bring that full circle real quick, that's why I bought DMX first album. Just so we
whoa,
know.
Whoa, seriously? But, wow.
Yeah. That's, I remember leaving. I used to work down the way from there. Yeah. So, like, it was literally Columbia. Go down a little shout bit, hit Tower Records, keep going, and I'm at work.
Wow.
So I would stop on the way to work. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So I stop on the way to work. Yeah,
like
it's dark and hella
hot. I straight had a budget for lunch, and I remember I like the Harold's that was across the street. I never forget. You can get a $2 box of fries, yep. right? And so I remember, like, I budgeted. I thought this shit out. Like, I can go buy this album, and I might have to eat a box of fries on Monday and then, like, a bag of chips on Tuesday. Like, I had to pick what I was going to eat for the week as far as being at school or have this album.
Well, that's what Berry Gordy based Motown off of. Was the hamburger theory. It was like, people deciding whether they was gonna spend this money on this hamburger or buying this new album. And
yeah, he said you were down to your last dollar. Would you buy a hamburger or would you buy this up
in this bitch right now? And I got a couple other, like I remember I bought MC Ren's what was the name of that album with Mad Scientist on it? No. Villain in Black, I think it was. It was after that. It was Villain in Black.
But Shock of the Hour.
It was a few other things, but I remember all from that Tower Records. But yeah, it was definitely real. Like, we had to go to the store and buy fucking music. So when people brag now about all this shit that they done sold and get all these certifications, like, them shits don't hold weight, G.
Yeah, my most memorable album I could think of off the top of my head that I got from that Tower Records was Midnight Marauders. I remember copping that. And then, being on that whole, you ain't got this yet. I got to have this shit first. I used to, like, when I was in high school and I started, in my senior years and later years of high school when I started driving, I would be late to school sometime because I would literally go to Hagwish right when they opened. So I could get the new cassette before I go to school. I remember being late to buy Doggy Style and Death Certificate before I went to school.
Just to be like, nigga, you ain't
right,
up on
right.
this.
Exactly.
You kids crazy. Will never understand.
Right. Yeah, you kids will never know. You'll never understand. Man, shout out to Paul Pierce.
Did he take the
can soda
deal?
Is that the one that there was just like,
wait, nigga? So after he got fired,
it was a can soda offer for Paul Pierce. Video.
For you guys that don't know what we're talking about, Paul Pierce, former basketball player, analyst for ESPN, he went live at his crib and he was smoking on his live. He had strippers. And then ESPN fired his dumb ass. So did we touch on this? Because the part that really kills me is that he made people, Paul Pierce, had this party. He made people sign NDAs and took their phones only for his dumb ass to go live. And listen, I think he had like 300 people on his live, which is a lot of people, but not when you're Paul Pierce. Like, it wasn't worth it. But so B, yeah, apparently Cam Soda offered him like $250,000 to do a similar type show with like strippers or some shit on Cam Soda. Did he take the deal, Dave? Do you know?
Wow.
I know they definitely offered him $250,000.
I don't know if he did or not, but exactly.
I don't think Paul Pierce needs the money.
If he wants to supplement
he really
the money he lost from ESPN.
But man, somebody was saying he could go over to Fox and get a deal. You know what though?
The reality is, Paul didn't do anything. Like, only thing he did wrong was go on live.
He wasn't even doing anything illegal because fucking weed is legal now. And strippers aren't illegal, but it's the imagery of it that got his dumb ass fired from ESPN. So he didn't do anything wrong. He just should have kept that shit to himself.
I forgot. Fox
also,
is Disney.
Just so y'all know, anybody who's listening, ESPN is owned by Disney. Yeah.
But I forgot Fox is. Too,
so he might need to take that game over there.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that.
But yeah, a lot of people were saying he was having a midlife crisis, man. I think he was just having a good time. But, you know, just go to show.
My man, a typical Friday night for most dudes.
Right. My man was like, pull up.
He was on one.
Like, he was telling people to pull up. So, yeah.
He was on one.
Oh, Paul. Mm-mm-mm. Man. Did y'all see LeBron James is producing another house party movie, man?
Can we not? Mad Dog No Good, and Martin was trying to get Tommy and Pam to stay, and he told Gina, like, throw on a movie, put on House Party 6. Like, we're really at almost House Party 6 now.
Yeah.
So LeBron is doing a new House Party.
Yeah, real talk. Yeah, he's producing it.
Is it a remake of House Party, or is it just another in the installment in the series? All right, so he's rebooting.
It's a reboot. I think it's supposed to have the kid in play.
Okay, so
characters.
Listen. House Party is near classic to us, right? But he's going to have Okay, so listen. House Party is a near and dear classic to us, right? To our generation. Yes. And so we don't think it needs to be touched. However, we have to remember that movie is 31 years old now. And so, you know, I'm sure our parents felt that way about shit that got remade in the 80s and 90s that was out in the 60s and 70s. And to them, it didn't need to be touched. But, you know, it's new to us. So it's going to be a whole new, if they do it right, I hope like the Hudlin brothers like stay on their ass and make sure they do it right. If they do it right, it's going to introduce it to a whole new generation, and you know. But
it's going to depend on who's in it too. Like the thing that made that work was Kid and Play's chemistry.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like who you gonna put in it now? Yeah. Like what are you
and like you got to look at what the definition of a house party today is like, you know what I'm saying? Like you look at these parties that kids nowadays
have. It's the app.
Right. Exactly. So it's going to be a lot of that. Like, there was this movie that was on Netflix.
Who made the tapes out?
It came out a couple years ago. No, not who made the tapes out. It had Wiz Khalifa in it. And then
rapper dude,
what's his name?
What song did he make, Dave?
Man, no, but it was he had this song with Lil Yachty.
What rapper
like,
dude
singing?
now I'm as old as you are. Lil Yachty,
you know.
But it was
It was a really funny movie.
Wasn't
Tiana
Lil
Taylor
Yachty
was in it. See, now I gotta look it up.
At the end. That was Uzi? Okay.
One of that was the song. Lil Uzi Vert, yeah.
I don't know a single Lil Yachty song, man.
No, this was a movie. The reason why I'm bringing up this movie is because it reminded me of a New Age house party. Oh, it was called The After Party. That's what the name of it was.
Now
it
back
was
to with, the
what's the rapper dude's name?
The rapper dude.
Oh, I guess his name is Kyle. Kyle Harvey?
It's a rapper named Kyle?
Nah, that can't be his. Nah, I think he goes by another name. But anyways.
Kyle Barker?
No. No, but it was called The After Party, and it was really funny, and it reminded me of today's version of House Party. It was about this aspiring rapper who goes viral because he gets in this like big high profile rap battle that's I think televised or people are just recording it with their phones or something. And Wiz Khalifa's in the audience watching, and the dude gets real nervous, and he like barfs all over Wiz Khalifa, and that moment goes viral. And then they get into this wild New York after party to this concert, and all of these crazy, you know, hijinks happen after that. But if you watch that movie, that's what a house party of today would look like to me.
You're looking at.
You know, I'm looking at
you're
stuff
looking
right
at
now
on
and,
Netflix.
You know, I hear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah, I'm on IMDb. Yeah. And so I hear what you're saying, and you know, you may have sold it a little bit, but as I scroll through this cast, I see Ski Mask the Slump Guy, and I'm just not gonna do it.
Wait, Ski Mask the Slump Guy?
I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, I think you're doing yourself a disservice.
I don't know if I've ever listened to his music, I feel like
that's OJ the Juice Man.
But listen,
cousin,
D, I'm finna say like,
his name
is horrible, but I feel like he might not be as horrible of a rapper as his name implies. I feel like I've seen good things regarding.
Yeah,
Steve,
you know what?
Some guy, just.
Yeah, no.
All right. Yeah, I respect it.
No, not gonna happen. not gonna happen.
No. I'm telling you, yeah, it was a really funny movie. If you ever get a chance, watch, check it out.
I'm gonna have the chance, and I'm still gonna decline. I know this.
All because it's not gonna happen. Was there somebody else that gave you pause? It's Ski Mask, the Slump God, that gives you pause.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Hey, I mean.
that's it.
And what's crazy is I was scrolling and I saw Blair Underwood, I saw Jada Kiss in the cast. Okay, cool. No. Ski Mask.
Damn, you didn't tell us Blair Underwood was
just can't do it. Sorry.
I mean, he had to read the script.
I mean,
like,
that should give it some validity.
Okay, so you don't like his stage name.
Except that they got Ski Mask the Slump Guy. I don't like his name.
Well, look at Joker the Jail Bondsman. I mean, he had a terrible name.
I'd rather not look at Joker the Jail Bondsman.
He had a terrible name.
He had a couple.
You know, legendary song, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he have a couple? Really?
I can't give you three.
Really?
I don't remember
name
two.
Give me three.
Hold on. So, you know, he had a Ziploc plastic bag.
What's the second one?
Right? And there's another one that.
Yep.
Is that the name of the song?
Okay.
Ain't nothing like it.
Oh, ain't nothing like it. Yeah. Okay. Well, wait. No, it was another song that he had was popular.
It ain't nothing like Money in the Ziploc Plastic Bag.
It was actually pretty good to me, too. Like, it was. Yeah, I forgot the name of it. But he had at least two joints. So, horrible name, but he was decent for what he did. So you can't forgive
for his BET Uncut videos.
Is that what it is? But all right. So, but Quest the Mad Lads, you're okay with me?
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Okay.
Yes, I'm quite okay with that.
Mm.
Shout
but that's
out
just
to
my
Quest
age, and that's the fact. Here's the thing:
Shout out to Quest the Mad.
I think I heard Quest music before I heard his name. You know what I'm saying? I heard the music before I heard his name, so I wasn't able to like just count him off because his name. I was like, okay,
if you that's had, a good song. Who made it? Ski Mask,
oh, Quest the Mad Lad. All right, that's what it is. So
I feel like
okay, you know this for a fact. No, I think 20 years ago I would have laughed even more. I'm being nice to this dude right now.
You got
20
it.
Years ago, I'd have been all over that.
I know, but like you gave Quest. I was a different person
20 years ago. You know 20 that.
Years ago, you probably heard Ski Mask.
But again, like I said, I heard the music before I knew who made the music.
All right, nah, because no,
I guarantee you, I didn't. I have a teenager, and if she ain't playing it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, he do?
Nah, she know it because he fuck with Triple X.
Oh. Maybe I'm thinking about somebody else.
Yeah, he's from Florida, bro. He ain't from New York.
Nah, I think I'm thinking of some
you might be.
Nigga with Pace in his name.
She know who he is. She don't play his shit.
Did he have? He has an alias.
Oh,
Smoke Perp.
Yeah. Nah, it's more like to Smoke it than Perp Smoke got Perp.
Another alias he goes by, but
yeah, I think it's just Smoke Perp. Nah, Ski Mask one of them Florida
you know
niggas, bro.
I'm good. With you now.
I'm good.
Yo, real quick, shout out to Kamala Harris, who came through the South Side.
And, she didn't come over the 71st.
Man, did she come over the 71st?
Before, it's like here's the crazy shit. You know, like I've written some stuff for Brown Sugar Bakery as far as just like you know media stuff, press releases, all of this stuff. Had I known that Kamala Harris was going to be VP, Kamala Harris, put some respect on her name, she was going to be over there. Man, listen. And you know, I'm not that far. I would have been over
right,
there.
Right.
But yo, like, I'm really tripping because apparently Brown Sugar Bakery has been getting a bunch of prank calls now because she was there. There was a really? Whole thing with Ted Cruz's punk ass. Like, I don't know, he saw the picture or whatever and said some crazy shit about her, like, rather going to get cake than deal with the border at the crisis. Or he said something about her not taking care of her duties about the shit, the crisis at the border and shit. Exactly, and that's what motherfuckers called him on, because Jemele Hill hit him with the shoe rehashing when his punk ass went to Cancun when the shit went down in Texas. But yeah, his ass, he had the audacity to bring that shit up. But anyway, so he said that shit about that. So now these motherfuckers have been prank calling Brown Sugar and fucking with them because of her visit there.
Wow.
So do we say fuck Ted Cruz every episode? Cause...
Oh, wow. All
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might as well.
Well, every episode is pretty much dessert.
Yeah, shout out to I don't know if you've ever had the Obama cake from Brown Sugar, but that shit is fire. So shout out to the Obama cake. Yo, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to yet another episode of On the Series 33 and the Third podcast. Man, appreciate all y'all following us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, and you know. Keep supporting, keep letting everybody know what's up. We got more coming, and y'all be safe out there, man.
Peace.
Yo, we'll be seeing y'all next week. All right.